bring us closer to you, Lord, to make us more like you, Lord, Father God. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, So Tony asked me to teach last week, and of course, as things go, with work and everything, I'm like trying to find my time and stuff to study, and and also at the same time, I kind of had something on my mind of what I was going to do, and then, these things all kind of get changed in the mix. And last night as I was praying, I was just like, what am I going to say now? I've got a lot of stuff down here, but it's like I couldn't find the transitioning of how I was going to present. So I'm just going to leave it in God's hands, which is probably a better place to keep it anyway. So, one of the things when Bobby was speaking last week, it was in 2 Corinthians that a couple of things, struck me that got me to thinking about, some of these things that I was meditating on and just the times that we're in. And I'm always in that, God's word is awesome. Amen. Amen. So he says, Paul here speaking to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And really, this is probably my prayer, and it's I'm sure it's Bobby's prayer and anybody's prayer who gets up here that, he says in the beginning, let me just start at the beginning, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellent speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear, in much trembling, which you can't see because I'm behind the podium, but my knees are like shaking. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that is truly always a desire when preparing something to bring to you, to break bread with you, to open up the Word of God. But in the last part of that, 2 Corinthians, the very last part, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. And if you read from 15 through, it says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So I guess a question, and the important thing is that we do have the mind of Christ, because one of the things that Paul also, was speaking to Timothy about was, even then, nothing's changed. Nothing's new. It's not like the perilous times that we're in, or the times that we're in, and the craziness that's going on right now. And in these things, it should deepen our resolve to be in prayer for others, for the possible dangers and things that people can face. There's just things being said that are just, then they're not new either. I mean, our president is discounting the ruling of the Supreme Court, not only overseas, but then here, publicly. And it's like, you already have this division going on in the United States amongst people, and it's like, that doesn't help. When the president himself is, saying these things, it's like, you are encouraging people that may have ill will in their hearts and don't have their minds on right to do things. But it's nothing new. So Timothy was even encouraged by Paul. But know this, is in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So it's a warning to Timothy of the times of the times that were to come. But when you notice, as Paul is preaching in certain things, especially back here in Corinthians, there's a lot of issues going on in Corinth. Corinth was kind of like a hub. It was a major crossroads for trade and things going on. So Corinth was kind of like, you know, the metropolis of the time, and many things going on there. And many things within the church, but also outside of the church, that influenced those things, the culture, the thing, you know, things going on in the world. And this too is what we deal with on a daily basis. But we have the mind of Christ. So Stevie was praying, you know, we want to be not just merely Christians, but Christians. We certainly want to be bearers of God's love for his creation, other human beings. But we also want to be mindful of the Word of God and how we reflect that and how our lives are being perceived by those around us. So in thinking about that, we have several scriptures that reference to this. We have Philippians chapter 2 in verses 5. In verse 5 it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God, who also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? Amen. So, in seeking to have the mind of Christ, we have to be in the Word. And there's some pretty interesting things here. I think one of the things, again, within Scripture, it was in Acts chapter 4:13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," this is the Pharisees, "and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." And there's one thing about our Word, it's living and powerful, right? We'll get into some of that. But then I was struck by Psalms 19:7. The men right now are going through Psalms. And it's kind of neat. Everyone's taking a chance to teach one of the Psalms. But in Psalms 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I don't know about you, but I'm a simple guy. I'm not a very smart man, but in the testimonies of the Lord and in the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So you can like meditate on that and realize that as you pour the Word of God into your mind and into your heart, the wisdom that you have will no longer be the wisdom of the world, but it will be the wisdom of God. And that is the transforming of our minds. That is putting on, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And in doing so, I started just hitting up, you know, like all these different words, right? But I also want to just, I don't want to just pull that one verse out. Let's just kind of read Psalms 19, because it really is a declaration, a revelation of our Lord again, as, well, one is a creator, and then two is just pure, he's true, and he's rewarding to us, and he's merciful and gracious. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, this is Psalms 19, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth. So you think about that. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There isn't anyone in this world who does not see the marvels of God and his creation. And as it speaks to them in their own language, it's transcended. You and I understand it as we see it, and other people in other parts of the world, you know, since time began with men populating the earth and stuff like that, we see the testimonies of God in his creation, and they speak to us. And their words to the end of the world, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And it's just, you know, God, a circuit, so it's a path. You know, God has laid a path for the earth, for the sun, for the stars and the moon and everything. You know, and it has this circuit, and a circuit is like a complete path in which it continues to run and run at his word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. We have a whole chapter from Paul on that in Romans chapter 7. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I just, you know, I love the Word of God. I love getting into it, you know. I don't like it when I'm trying to formulate something for teaching sometimes. But, you know, God does he gives us his Word. And I know that if I bring you the Word of God, it's going to do what it's going to do. And there might be something in there that as we speak and as I share and as we break the bread and the Word of God together here, that God will speak to your heart and he'll put something there. And that's always the, you know, my prayer. Because really when I got into this, my concern is for what, you know, is happening in this world and how, you know, the two greatest commandments by Christ, when Christ said, he summed them up, what are the two greatest commandments? And it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And recently, in the news media and stuff like this, we've been hearing people using scripture, especially when it comes to the whole abortion issue and just other issues. And I've been hearing more scripture, and it's like, there's one thing that hasn't changed. I was kind of tripping through there. I was going to show you some stuff, but I didn't really want to distract too much from God's Word, because really the point I was going to make is just that being in God's Word will keep you in focus with the Lord, keep you in focus with a biblical worldview, and then also keep you from getting, like, terribly upset. Some of these things are upsetting when they're saying, but currently what hasn't changed, I was watching a little clip from Ocasio-Cortez on a committee back in 2020, and then I was watching a couple of recent things just on the abortion decision, and both times they used the scripture that I just quoted to you, but just the one part. And then, and it's also kind of interesting because James just uses to love your neighbor as yourself, and he pulls this out of Leviticus 18. And when God is giving the commandments and how Israel's supposed to live and do things and cut grain and not cut the corners of their field and leave, you know, all these things, but to love your neighbor as yourself. And but one of the things that was interesting there is in both examples of using the Word of God, there was the use of the word white supremacists, bigotry, and hatred. So basically it comes to this. It's like you can have the Word of God and you can use it, but just as so long as it conforms to the way we want you to think. So if you think outside of these things, and it's not to say that we're here I don't want to say we're here to perpetrate hatred and bigotry towards our fellow human beings, because they're all creations of God. And that we have to remember, because we all came, as Paul was speaking to Titus, I believe, he says, you know, we're all, before we knew the Lord, Father God, we were all like the world. I mean, we were running astray, we're doing our own thing. We were boasters and proud and doing whatever, you know. And so we have a lost generation of people. And yes, we do need to love them, love our neighbors, ourselves. Jesus even gave the example of when asked, who is my neighbor? And he talks of the Good Samaritan who took the time to stop and help this man who has been robbed and injured on the roadside. That's our neighbor. I don't know anything about him. And I don't need to know anything about him. I just need to know this, that God created them, knew them before they were even formed in their mother's womb. And that's all I need to know about him, and that I'm to love him as I love myself. So would I not want somebody to help me if I was on the side of the road? And would God himself not help those who need to be helped? Well, you know, in that position, we cry out to the Lord for help. We prayed to the Lord for Steve's healing and stuff, and God has answered our prayers mightily, I would say. So while the truth is being spoken, there is also ties to it and trying to restrain us. Because if you are to give them, So basically, if I were to go to a person who's of a persuasion of LGBTQ, RST, plus, and give them the truth of what God's Word has to say about this decision in their life, I would be hailed as a bigot or a homophobe or a hater of them. Yet my only desire is that they would know, at least know the truth there and have the opportunity to accept it or reject it, and that is then lies on them. But for me to just pass by without any regard, if I have the opportunity to share the Word of Christ with them and to share the truth of what the Word of God has to say, it's hard to hear, but it's the truth, and it's the fact that God wants them to be in a relationship with Him. He wants, that's God's desire, is that all men would come to be saved. And so it's my desire that all men would come to be saved. And I'm not sharing an opinion of mine. I'm trying to share with them God's desire for them to leave that lifestyle and to have a relationship with Him. and to learn of his love and learn of his ways. And also, as we're just talking, is to let this mind that was in Christ also be in you. And what's also amazing to me is when they were sharing that scripture, a lot of times God was never mentioned here. So it's like, how do I love my neighbors and myself? How do I even love myself if I don't have a relationship with God? If I'm not learning of God's word and I'm not pouring it into myself and understanding God's love for me, how do I then translate that love to others? I can't. The only love I can really translate is a twisted love, is a love that says, oh, I accept you as you are, and hey, I'm sorry you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. You know, I mean, that isn't really love for us. Love for us is that we want you to experience the love of God for all eternity, to be in his light and to be in his kingdom. That's our desire. You don't have to accept it. God's not twisting your arm. But if you haven't had that opportunity to hear the truth and to hear the word and to have a chance to accept it, then I'm being remiss by not giving you that opportunity. And yes, the word of God can be hard. It's hard on us. I mean, isn't it? I mean, that's what David was just saying there at the end of Psalms 19, you know. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. We have them. You know, we're a little fuzzy around the edges, right? And we're constantly going to our God, and we're constantly, as we pour the word of God into us, we're constantly examining ourselves, or we should be. And what is it that God is showing me today? What is it that God is wanting me to pull out of my heart that's wicked, that's fault, that gets in the way of him being fully, me being able to be fully used by him? Okay? So, anyway, I started going through a litany of scriptures pertaining to the word. And I know you're familiar with some of these. Psalms 119 has a bunch of them. Probably has the most. That's a Jewish alphabet to song, if you're not familiar with Psalms 19, and that's kind of why it's so long. So for each alphabetical letter, there's like so many scriptures that create the psalm for that. 2 Samuel 22:31 is the same as Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to those who all... He is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 17:4, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalms 119:9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. We all have experienced heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Verse 50, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Verse 172, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Did I just say that? Yeah, well, it's similar to Psalms 18:30. Matthew 4:4, this is during Christ's temptation by the evil one. But he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. John 17:17, Christ in the garden, or Christ in prayer to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this one here I love because it's like we should be looking to be bathed by God every day. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. In Ephesians 6, Ephesians 5, 27. Ephesians 6, 17 through 18, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, in joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's why we take in the word of God, because we want the Lord to be able to discern our thoughts and our intents. Are they in line with what God's ways are? And I know as I was going through the study, there were things that were even like, you know, you want me to teach? Anyway, but, you know, because we go through things. We're fuzzy around the edges. But God's word is living and powerful, and thank God for that. But it is sharper than any two-edged sword, which, what does that mean? Well, it can hurt you. It can hurt other people if you're using it wrong, right? That's why Paul was so adamant about love in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I have not love, what am I? I'm a clanging cymbal. I'm just beating people. If I'm doing it in love, and I'm doing it with the right motives, then I am presenting them with a decision of life. So be careful with that sword in your hand and allow God to use it as an instrument in our own life, in your own life, in our life, to make us more like Christ, Christ-minded. And then my favorite one, of course, is when you read John 1:1, several verses there, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It can also be said the darkness did not overcome it. We don't go running around to the store and saying, hey, my dark light's out. I can't, like, you know. I mean, darkness cannot overtake light. It's the other way around. When that sun bursts in the morning, all darkness fades except for the shadows that there might be. When you shine a light in darkness, the darkness is consumed by the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So our Word has become flesh. This very Word that is life, that is comfort, has become flesh, that we might know the image of the true God that Christ presented. As Paul had said back there in when I was reading, too many sheets of paper, that Christ humbled himself, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. So God being the Word become flesh, I would encourage you then that that should get us to want to be in the Word even more, because we surely do want to know our God. He's given us this Word. This isn't everything, obviously, because even John wrote that if all the things of Christ were to be written, they wouldn't be able to be contained in all the books of the libraries at the time. So his actions and God's actions within our life, he's given us enough here to understand who he is, that he is righteous and true and that his judgments are true, to know that he loves us dearly because he paved the way for us to have a relationship with him again. Because even as we read and we quote very often, and he is merciful to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a statement. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And why is that? Well, because the world is already condemned. We're already condemned. He's our salvation. There's anything we can do to have that salvation. It's like God did everything. Now, we do live out our salvation with fear and trembling. We do live out our salvation by taking on the mind of Christ and by being Christ-like in our actions, as Neil has so taught through the book of James, that we are to be doers of the Word, not just merely hearers of the Word, but to do those things, because my faith without works is dead. So, in other words, it's like that isn't going to get me salvation, but it certainly should be a byproduct of my salvation, that I am loving my neighbor as myself, that I am reaching out to others to give them the Word of God, that they might have the opportunity to experience the treasure and the gift that I've experienced. And that's kind of all I got for you, so I'm going to close it in prayer. The Word of God is good. Amen. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord Father God. We thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you, Lord Father God, to be allowed to live in this particular part of the world. We are so blessed by you, Lord Father God. And yet, we don't know you as well as we should in this country, Lord Father God. I pray for the hearts and the minds and the souls of the people here, Lord Father, that you have placed around us. As my brother Fernando was praying earlier today, that we are your ambassadors in all things, Lord Father God. We have a mission to be a light to the world around us, Lord. We are salt, Lord. We are scattered. Let us not lose our savor, Lord Father God, but let us keep ourselves in your word, that we might maintain that flavor that would just bring light to men's souls, Lord Father God, that they might not be in the darkness anymore, Lord. And Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have here this morning to break your word. Pray, Lord, that it goes forth and does as your will would have it to do, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.